It is 5:20, and this is the KDLL Evening News for Tuesday, December 23rd, on 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna, listener-supported public radio for the central Kenai Peninsula. Filling in for Ashlyn O'Hara, I'm Jake Dye. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, for Alaska Public Media's Alaska Survival Kit, Hannah Floor shares tips to handle cold winter air and dried out skin. But first, the United States may soon have an Arctic ambassador again to represent the nation's interests in the far north. The post has been vacant for nearly a year now. That's because Mike Sefraga, who's currently the interim chancellor of the University of Alaska Fairbanks, resigned from the post in January, just before Donald Trump took office. But the Trump administration will soon have to nominate someone for the position now that Congress has approved a measure that requires it to be filled. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
President Trump signed the 2026 National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA, on Thursday. The 3,000-page policy document outlines the Defense Department's plans to acquire weapons like ships, aircraft, and missile systems. Tucked deep within the document is also a provision that codifies the position of Ambassador at Large for Arctic Affairs, a diplomatic post also known as the Arctic Ambassador. Senator Lisa Murkowski says she worked with members of the Senate Arctic Caucus and House Arctic Working Group to include the position in the NDAA, and she hopes the administration will move quickly to fill the post.
We've been waiting on this for too long, and given all that's going on, the geopolitical activities in the Arctic, waiting another year wasn't something that I was interested in.
She was a leading advocate for creating the Arctic Ambassador post, which the State Department established in 2022. But it took a while for the Biden administration to choose someone. Here's Murkowski making the case in a March 2024 hearing before members of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee to move ahead on the nomination of Mike Sefraga, who was then chair of the U.S. Arctic Research Commission.
We are the only Arctic country without one. Everybody else has an Arctic ambassador, even some of the non-Arctic countries, like Singapore.
The Senate confirmed Sefraga's nomination in September 2024, and he became the first and so far only U.S. Arctic ambassador. Murkowski said in an interview earlier this month that the need for someone to fill the post has grown even more urgent.
We've certainly seen Russia projecting its presence when they're flying, their war planes in the Alaskan Air Defense Identification Zone. We've seen that multiple times over this past year. We need to have someone who's going to work with our allies and engage our adversaries in the region.
Senator Dan Sullivan cited the same concern in a written statement he issued Thursday. It read in part, quote, "Our country needs steady, predictable engagement and leadership at the diplomatic level to better represent America's interests here. And that is exactly what an Arctic ambassador can deliver," unquote. Sefraga says he wouldn't be interested in the job right now, but adds that he knows firsthand how essential it is.
That person helps to formulate and communicate our Arctic policy. It helps to infuse that policy into our overall foreign policy. I would argue that this ambassadorship also has a connection to the domestic policy because of the state of Alaska.
He said in a recent interview that the ambassador must engage with other Arctic nations, both allies and adversaries, and countries elsewhere around the world with interests in the region.
This is now a global Arctic, whether it's trade or economics or, great power competition, oil, gas, critical minerals, our new world. The Arctic plays such an important role.
Sefraga and Murkowski both believe the ideal Arctic ambassador nominee would come from Alaska. And so does Troy Bouffard. He's director of the UAF Center for Arctic Security and Resilience.
I would hope that an Alaskan is appointed in order to be fully, more or less qualified to represent the U.S. Arctic, which is defined by Alaska.
Bouffard said it may be hard to find an Alaskan with all the experience and skill sets like those that Sefraga possessed. And if so, he hopes the Trump administration will select a person who's dedicated to understanding the state and its strategic importance.
If we're not successful in getting an Alaskan into the position, we can have someone who's willing, brings a lot of other important world experience, and can adapt to the Arctic challenges a lot easier.
Bouffard says the State Department has capable staff running the Office of the Ambassador at Large for Arctic Affairs while the Trump administration looks for a nominee. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
And finally, cold winter air can really dry out skin, and in Alaska, extra cold air can make the problem worse. For Alaska Public Media's new series, Alaska Survival Kit, Hannah Floor learns how to keep your skin hydrated even when the temperatures dip.
Mackenzie Rose spends a lot of time putting on lotion in the winter.
I feel like people with really dry skin live on like a different plane of existence.
Her husband, Simon, does not live on that same plane. And he doesn't use moisturizer.
I wonder, Mackenzie, if you were to go a week without using any of your lotions and potions, like what your skin would look like?
It would look like a desiccated, shriveled up gardening glove that was like left out over winter that you've just uncovered underneath like 3 feet of snow.
Mackenzie says moisturizer makes a huge difference. Simon says it's a scam. Full disclosure, these two are my roommates. I hear this kind of thing a lot. I try not to take sides. But still, I did wonder, how much is in Mackenzie's head? Does winter weather really make your skin drier? My face has been feeling very tight lately. I think it's time to ask someone who knows what they're talking about. I visit a dermatologist.
You heard from Dr. Miller?
Dr. Janine Miller owns Miller Dermatology in Anchorage. She says dry skin is common during cold Alaskan winters.
As it gets colder outside, the humidity drops. It's not very good for your skin.
Miller says just how much the dry air affects you comes down to genetics. Everyone is different. For people with dry skin, she says, there's a lot you can do and avoid doing. After my appointment, I have 4 big takeaways. And because I personally like to hear bad news first, I'm going to start with the bummer. Here's number 1.
In the wintertime, I recommend against very hot showers.
Lukewarm is best. I know. I don't want to believe it either. But Miller says that hot water is stripping moisture from your skin. Takeaway 2 was equally as surprising to me. Miller says lotion is actually not your friend. I was confused. But it turns out that moisturizer is not synonymous with lotion. Lotion is a kind of moisturizer, a kind that Miller does not recommend.
I'm not saying that every single lotion is bad, but on average, most lotions have some type of alcohol derivative in them, and that is what tends to dry out the skin or irritate the skin in the winter.
Instead of lotion, look for thicker, unscented creams or ointments, or Miller's favorite, oil in a spray bottle. She uses jojoba. She says it's the closest thing to the oils our bodies produce. And Miller says timing is key.
As soon as you are done showering, while your skin is still damp, still moist, apply your moisturizer.
Next up, takeaway 3. Hydrate from the outside in by using a humidifier.
I explain to my patients that it's really important to do it at night because it's usually about 8 hours where they can be in a humidified environment.
Our final takeaway is all about keeping the moisture in once you've managed to hydrate your skin. Miller says a petroleum-based ointment like Aquaphor or Vaseline can act as a barrier.
How much are we talking here? Is it like I run across somebody out on the trails and I'm like, what happened
to your face? They've got a shiny face.
Yeah.
Some people shiny face it.
Miller says it's not necessary to goop it on. A thin layer will do. And it's not for everyone. It can cause breakouts for acne-prone skin. At home, Mackenzie's excited to hear what I learned from the dermatologist. I'm a little nervous. I already checked her lotion. It has alcohol. I sit her down. Her husband, Simon, listens in, invested. I try to break it to her gently.
Dr. Miller does not recommend using lotions.
What? How come?
Because alcohol is drying.
What? Wait, so I've been drying out my skin this whole time?
We read the labels on Mackenzie's products and on mine. I tell her about shiny facing it and humidifiers and hot showers. I play her bits of my conversation with Miller. Simon wanders off to bed. Mackenzie says, yeah, she feels betrayed by her lotions and potions, but she's also excited to do a little shopping. Now she knows what she's looking for. Some things, though, won't change.
Will you be taking lukewarm showers?
That's a hard no.
I'm with her on that one. In Anchorage, I'm Hannah Floor.
That's all for tonight's KDLL Evening News. We had help from Tim Ellis in Fairbanks and from Hannah Floor in Anchorage. You can re-listen to this newscast and find our other stories online at kdll.org. I'm Jake Dye. Happy holidays.